When he thought about it years later, it was the book in the piano bench that had tipped him off. Herr Richter was in the kitchen making a cup of tea while Rudolf waited in the parlor for his viola lesson, bored out of his skull. In the low golden light, the room so flowery, so pink, with its armchairs bedecked in cabbage roses, the ticking clock sent him into an afternoon drowse. Rudolf hated the viola. It had none of the panache of the violin, none of the glitter of the piano, which was his first instrument. He had only convinced his parents to let him take these lessons so he could get closer to Goethe. Today she wasn't even home, out with Frau Buchner on some errand. So Rudolf, after chewing his nails to nubs, picking at the callus on his left index finger and rosining his bow a third time, lifted the hinged lid of the piano bench and rifled through to see if there was anything interesting. And there it was. Under the Christmas carols and Volkslieder, a book written in those funny letters he knew only Jews could read, and underneath the title, the translation, Yiddish Ballads. Rudolf chalked it up to the collection of an eccentric musical couple. People had already begun accumulating artifacts for the time when those people would be extinct. Even though he was given his Hitlerjugend uniform and told to be on the lookout for hidden Jews, it still did not click in Rudolf's mind. But when, on another afternoon several weeks later, Herr Richter opened the cabinet to put more cigarettes into his brass pocket case, Rudolf spotted a small silver cup not much bigger than a schnapps glass and thought he made out the distinctive shape of a six-pointed star incised on its side. Then he knew. It had to be true. Goethe Richter was Jewish. All this time, he had been fantasizing not about a girl, but about a Jew. It wouldn't have mattered before, in the days prior to the Nuremberg Laws, but it did now. The thought simultaneously repulsed him, mainly because he'd been told it should repulse him, and excited him. He had something to report at the next HJ meeting. It pained him, too, because he knew he would have to renounce Goethe, purge himself of her. He would have to harden his heart and train himself to hate her. Because he knew he would have to turn Goethe in. It was the right thing to do. That is how Rudolf found himself standing in the midnight dark, watching from the edge of the crowd, emotionless, as the girl he had been in love with since her first day in the children's choir was herded by guns and dogs onto a train with the rest of the filthy Jews of Würzburg. That is how, the next day, he was able to march mechanically up the stairs of Goethe's flat with a throng of newly vested HJ and march Maria Buchner back down into the glaring sun of Residenz Square to make her kneel on the cobblestones and to personally shove the sign, which he had himself scrawled with the words Jew lover, over the tangled bottle blonde hair of the famous operatic diva who had sheltered Goethe and her father. That is how, now, during the Battle of Berlin, he was able to grab a smoking Luger from the hands of a dying child soldier, younger than himself. Just grab the gun from the bleeding-out boy who reached for Rudolf, crying,
Mutti, ich will zu meiner Mama.
Grab. Go. Do. Never feel. Rudolf walked like an automaton through the crumbling city, ducking behind walls that stuck out of the dust like scraggly teeth. He shot anything that moved. Since his first decision to betray Goethe, his heart had become fossilized by thousands of minuscule choices, years of convincing himself that down was up, east was west, wrong was right, compassion was weakness. There was now no belief, no theory, no thought at all. Only the animal will to survive. So it was out of character for Rudolf Moser to save a girl's life that day. He didn't know why he stopped for her. He'd passed dozens of dead compatriots and blubbering toddlers and old women with rubble falling around their shoulders. Buildings bulged and toppled in the non-light of war, dust obscuring all color and notion of time. Every landmark was blasted, the city formless, like a melted honeycomb. But when Rudolf saw the girl hiding in that doorway, pointing a shaky pistol at whatever bastard would dare to mess with her, he knew he was going to help her. Not just help, but protect her. Not just protect, but marry her.